Hi, this is Bill Woods up here in Sun Valley, Arizona, and I'm hoping that you're having a real good day. I want to talk to you today about a game more important than the Super Bowl. People are saying this is it, the week that football fans have looked forward to all year long, and Sunday's going to be the day that they want to see. And 25,000-plus fans will crowd into the SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. The stadium will hold 65,890 people, and usually, like last year, there were 80,000-plus fans that got into the Super Bowl, and there probably would be that many to try to crowd in this year, but due to COVID, the attendance is limited. Millions of fans will tune in on TV. The players on two teams, the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals, are keyed up to do their very best. They probably feel like the whole world is watching. Every play, huge men will face off across the line of scrimmage. A call will be made, leather will slap, massive bodies will collide and crash. A battle will begin, and for four 15-minute quarters, men will expend enormous energy and Herculean efforts to move a pigskin up and down a field. One team will emerge victorious. The winning team will be the one that excels in five specific traits. Those traits are the team with the greatest desire, the team with the most discipline, the team with most determination, the team willing to practice self-denial, and the team with the greatest distinction and character will be the team to win the Super Bowl. Many teams play football, but few of them ever rise to the status of Super Bowl champion. Do you know where the rest of the NFL will be Sunday night? Well, they'll be at home watching the game along with most churchgoers. What separates a championship team from the team with the worst record? It's like I said, desire, discipline, determination, denial, and distinction applied day in and day out. There's a game, though, that's much more important than the Super Bowl being played on Sunday, and you're part of that game. Unlike the Super Bowl, your game has eternal consequences. Only a few Christians rise to the level exhibited by the Super Bowl champion. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 through 23, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." You might not know this contest you're in is in an arena that is literally has billions of spectators. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. See, God's watching, Satan's watching, all the angels and demons are watching how you're going to progress. I believe Christian saints are watching and rooting for our success too. And you know, this thought or knowing this has helped me resist temptation and make right choices for years. I can imagine my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, and now my sister are watching, and I don't want to let them down. Mostly, I don't want to disappoint me or Marty and my family. I don't want to let any of them down either. What happens is if you run the wrong way or fumble the ball, does that mean the game's over? January 1st, 1929, California Golden Bears played Georgia Tech at the Rose Bowl. Roy Riggles picked up a fumble and ran 69 yards the wrong way. Finally, he was tackled by his quarterback, Benny Lom, who chased Riggles screaming at him to stop. Lahm caught Regals at the California 3-yard line and tried to turn him around, but Roy was immediately brought down by a wave of Georgia Tech players at the 1-yard line. The Bears punted at their own end zone, and Georgia Tech's Vance Murray blocked Lahm's punt for a safety, giving Georgia Tech a 2-0 lead. At the half, Regals was so distraught, his coach, Nibs Price, had to talk him into returning for the second half. Roy said, "Coach, I just can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined myself and the University of California. I couldn't face that crowd to save my life." Coach responded, "Roy, get up and go back out there. The game's only half over." Regals played a stellar second half, including blocking a Georgia Tech punt. Lahm passed for a touchdown and kicked the extra point, and Georgia Tech still won their second national championship 8-7. From then on, Roy was known as Wrong Way Regals. Maybe the most famous goof in NFL history was the wrong way run by Minnesota Vikings defensive end Jim Marshall in 1964. Playing against the San Francisco 49ers on October 25, 1964, Marshall scooped up Billy Kilmer's fumble and raced to the end zone. Unfortunately, he ran to the wrong end zone, giving a safety to the 49ers. Marshall said, "My first inkling something was wrong was when the 49er player gave me a hug in the end zone." Well, you know, we've all ran the wrong direction once in a while. Because of Christ's forgiveness, however, the game's only half over. We can't just sit down and quit because we've made some kind of mistake. We have a coach who really wants to help us make it to the goal. As long as we're alive and kicking, Jesus will encourage us to keep in the game and to win. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." The 5 traits of a Super Bowl team are the same traits that define a Super Bowl Christian: desire, discipline, determination, denial, and distinction. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." In Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." In 1 Corinthians, Paul was referring to the Isthmian Games. I think Isthmian Games, pardon me. Held every 2 years in Corinth. Athletes competed for crowns made of leaves. Paul encouraged Christians to compete for a prize much more lasting. The first trait of a Super Bowl Christian, like I said, is desire. We want to run to win. Desire is to want something, wanting something so bad that you can taste it. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." J. Vernon McGee used to say, "The highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to see God." Our desire for God must compel us to run with all we have. I remember when I was in high school, senior in high school, and we had a PE class, and One day we were out there, and they announced that we were all going to have to run the 440-yard dash. And I want you to know that's a long run. And we went by alphabetical order, and you'd watch. They did three at a time. Three guys run out and go down 220 yards and come back the other 220 yards. And I was to run with a couple guys that were kind of smart, Alex. And they made fun of me. They said, "Oh, Woods, he's so out of shape. He's so fat. He probably won't get back before nighttime. In fact, we might even have to send a search party out for him." And they kept at me that time. The whole period, they kept at me like that. Finally, it was my turn to run with them, and we took off, and I just about ran my heart out. In fact, I beat them both back, and then you should have heard how they got razzed by the rest of the people in that class. You know, I felt so good that I kind of made them eat crow over the way they had picked on me, but I ran with determination because I was not going to be beat. And that's how we've got to do in our Christian walk, too. Unfortunately, too often, we settle for silver or bronze medals. You get gold, congratulations, you're a winner. Get bronze, at least you got something. But get silver, that means, sorry, you almost won. Actually, you're the first loser. You know, most Christians never get too far past the starting line. Instead of straining and pressing on, we get comfortable on the sidelines. Vince Lombardi said, "The difference between a successful person and others isn't a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather a lack of will." Paul had the will to win. He was the Tom Brady of early Christianity. Desire alone, though, is not enough. Desire only works when it's linked to discipline. Most of us want to get in shape. Without discipline, it won't happen. And I'd say to that, "Oh, fooey, I wish there was some way I could just sit there, watch TV, and get in shape. I may have the wanna, but if I don't have the gotta, I'm never going to have the getta." The second trait of a Super Bowl Christian is discipline. Discipline's the fuel of success. You may be the prettiest car in the showroom, but without gas, you're not going anywhere. Without discipline, a Christian can't grow. You'll be a spiritual weakling, an easy prey for Satan to defeat. Worse, you may be so weak, Christian, or Satan will decide you're not worth his efforts. Trying to be a Christian without spiritual discipline would be like climbing into the ring with Mike Tyson. Somebody's going to get hurt, and get hurt really bad. Paul says a competitor goes into strict training. He beats his body into subjection. A bodybuilder adds more weight and extra laps to increase his muscle mass when he's working out. Paul felt the burn and pushed on past it. Christian maturity doesn't just happen. It takes work. 1 Timothy 4:7, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Hebrews 12:7 says, "As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father?" There are no shortcuts to peak physical condition. When Tom Landry coached the Dallas Cowboys, he said, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." We want to win. We just don't want the discipline. Discipline makes us want to be Super Bowl Christians, to perform at our highest level. A Christian, then, in order to do that, must be determined. The third trait is determination. Focus and commitment. Determination shows whether your Christianity is a recreational sport or a serious pro competition. You need to focus. You need to make a commitment. Commitment is a dying commodity in America. Commitment is a quality known to prior generations and yet is woefully lacking in the baby boomer and younger generations. you know, younger generations learn from the baby boomer parents that maybe they don't want to make such commitments. When life gets tough, baby boomers check out what other options and alternatives they have. It happens in every area of life. Determination and stick-to-itiveness have become passé. A Super Bowl quality performance can't happen without determination. Everything has ups and downs. Only those committed to riding out to the crests and the troughs will succeed. Paul said, Philippians 3:14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He was focused on completing his own Super Bowl. He didn't give up on the 4th and 20. He stayed on to the end game. Vince Lombardi again says, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence. Regardless of their chosen field and endeavor, once a man makes a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. We call this heart power. Once a man makes this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success. Look at some who have had a bad first half but refused to quit. I was thinking about Joseph back in the book of Genesis and how, remember, he was sold by his brothers and he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and he was sent to prison. When prison, he was forgotten by Pharaoh's butler, who promised to mention him to the Pharaoh. He must have just wanted to give up. What a lousy first half he was having. How often it's been like me, I wanted just to give up. And then I remember God never said we'd be ahead at the half, just that we'd win the game. You've been through rugged times, and you're still facing rugged days, but the game isn't over yet. Buck up. Get encouraged. It must have seemed like a game was over for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel must have felt the final whistle was blowing when he was thrown in the lion's den. But the final score was Lions 0 and God 1, W-O-N. These fellows were committed to God and determined to win the game. Without the commitment and determination, we break apart into too many areas. We become double-minded. James 1, 6 and 7, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. We must have desire, discipline, and commitment. And then the next trait is the outgrowth of the first three. The fourth trait is denial. And I'm not talking about some river in Egypt, not denial. I'm talking about denying ourselves things. To succeed in anything takes a willingness to sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You know, sacrifice means to give something up for a specific purpose. When you sacrifice, you pay a price. Super Bowl Christians sacrifice. There are things they'll give up and things they'll take up. They'll give up pet sins. They'll take up burdensome crosses. They'll give up freedoms. They'll take up submission. In doing so, their time, thinking, and actions radically change. Sacrifice isn't just a one-time event. The Super Bowl Christian, like a good athlete, continually trains and sacrifices. There's no off-season. Paul didn't resist on his laurels, didn't just rest on his laurels. He, even when he was old, he pressed on knowing the goal line was still a few yards ahead of him, and And he was bound and determined he was going to make it. He wouldn't reach it until he closed his eyes in death. But when he finally made it, what a tremendous victory he had. The fifth trait is distinction. Charles Reed wrote, "Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Every successful Super Bowl Christian, every successful Super Bowl team has a game plan combining all their training into a winning strategy. For the Super Bowl Christian, character is what pulls desire, discipline, determination, and self-denial together. Character makes you a Christian of distinction, making a distinctive difference. Character for the Christian is Christ-likeness. Paul trained hard so he could look more like Jesus. Philippians 3:7-10 said, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death." Paul knew that he wasn't there yet, but he was moving in that direction. And every day he drew closer to God because he had desire. He was disciplined. He was determined and dedicated, committed and focused. Because he was willing to deny himself, he developed godly character. We know that Paul was beheaded. He was a martyr. As he drew his last breath, he crossed the goal line of glory, and the buzzer sounded. He'd won the game. Paul was a Super Bowl Christian. The prize waiting for him was so much better than any Super Bowl ring. Paul received crowns that will last for all eternity. And it can be that way for you and me, too. One more thing. None of us wants to see our child get hurt. We don't like to see them fall down and bruise their knees. We don't want them to hear hurtful remarks from other children. We do almost anything to protect them from pain. We have to be careful not to be so overprotective that we buffer them from lessons that God wants them to learn. We often are like the father of the professional football great Sid Luckman. Luckman was a quarterback for the Chicago Bears in the 1930s and 40s. His father, an immigrant tailor from Brooklyn, rarely got to see him play. One Sunday, the Bears were playing the Giants in New York. Luckman arranged for his parents to sit on the 50-yard line. For most of the first quarter, things went smoothly. Luckman passed crisply. His running game worked well. Then one play, the Bears' pass protection broke down. Giant defenders rushed in, and Luckman had to scramble to dodge the tacklers before they could get to him. He ran back and forth, trying to avoid those huge linemen. Suddenly, a voice was heard calling from the sidelines, "Sidney, let them have the ball. I'll buy you another one." Some of you are trying to protect your loved ones from the hard knocks of life. The result is you're protecting them from things that God can use to reach them. Don't run interference for them from God, for you ignore and justify their sins, sinful condition. You're enabling them to ignore God's convicting voice. They need all the conviction God will pour out on them. Sunday, the Super Bowl game will be here and soon be over. And one team will be victorious. They'll get a trophy. They'll get rings and cash and glory, advertising contracts and bragging rights for a year. Yet a much more important game is being played, and you're a key player. You're playing for eternal rewards, a prize that'll never dim. The outcome's up to you, Because everyone can win if they have desire, discipline, determination, denial, and distinction. Will you be just a Bush League Christian, or are you a Super Bowl Christian? My prayer is that God will allow you to be very, very close to it. Well, that you will allow God to be very close to you, and you'll be a Super Bowl Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to live for you. Help us, Jesus, to draw close, to have the determination to make it all the way to the reward that you have waiting for us. And Lord, I pray you'll bless each one that's listening to this today, that if they don't know you as their Savior, that soon, even today, they will get into the game as one of your teammates. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'm going to close this out now, but remember, if you want to get a hold of me, my email address is lowercase REVWMWWOODS, and my mailing address is Box 4037, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. God bless you.